Life of Mary Sutherland, the dramatic story of a young widow who rejects the familiar pattern of her life for an unknown and uncertain future. And now, the life of Mary Southern. Soon after Mary had begun to recover from the shock of her husband's death, she received a blow of a different sort. The news that she was penniless. Refusing Dr. John Benson's offer of marriage, Mary declared that she would find a way of supporting herself and her children. Her new friends in Craig's Falls, David Drake and Father Brady, believed her instinct was right in refusing to return to her old life in Sanders, and proved their confidence in her by arranging to care for her twins at the neighborhood house. And yesterday, Mary actually obtained the promise of a job in a little lunchroom, providing she made good after a week's trial. She was delighted, but David and John Benson were united in their emphatic disapproval of this cheap restaurant in the poorer section of town. It is early the next afternoon, Mary's first day on her new job. The restaurant is deserted, and Ned Barker, the dyspeptic proprietor, is finishing his lunch as Otto, the cook, approaches angrily from the kitchen.
Mr. Parker, I want you should answer me one question, no?
No. I mean, yes. What is it, Otto?
I cook good enough for you and your customers for 10 years, no?
No.
No?
I mean, sure. Customers all walked out alive so far, and I keep myself going on soda mints.
This is no time for jokes, Mr. Parker. Since when did you get the idea you sent me a cooking teacher?
Oh, I get it. Is she out there in the kitchen?
Who else do you think I'm talking from?
I feel the same way you do about it, Otto. Woman's place is anywhere where I ain't.
Woman's place is not in my kitchen.
I knew no good would come of hiring a woman.
She does not have to stay hired, does she?
No, but... Say, Otto, what do you think of them things hanging in the window? Them curtains she put up this morning.
So, you really want to know, Mr. Parker?
No, never mind. I got a good idea what you think.
Did you pay good money for them crazy things?
$4. That's why I'm sitting with my back to them. So I won't get sicker than I am already. Women are all like, I hire her for a week at no salary. So she gets me spending money.
Listen, Mr. Parker, I think you're sick in the head hiring that woman.
You don't have to tell me that. I ought to be taken away and locked up. Only, did you notice two tourist cars stopped for lunch today?
And why shouldn't they?
No reason why they shouldn't. Only nothing like that's happened in months. Mary says some new curtains and some pots of green stuff she bought for the window.
Well, you telling me for 10 years you cannot stand women. Well, I am telling you, that woman gets out of my kitchen...
Oh. I wanted to tell you that beef goulash of yours is the best I've ever tasted.
Yeah?
Will you show me how you make it someday?
Well, sure I will, ma'am.
I've always said that men were better cooks than women anyway. Don't you think so, Mr. Barker?
All cooking's poison to me.
Yes, men like Otto are better cooks than most women. Better than I am, anyway. But, of course, I do pride myself on my apple pie. It was awfully good of you to let me use the oven, Otto.
Apple pie. Himmels.
Look, Mr. Barker, I'd like you to have the first piece.
Me eat pie with my dyspepsia? Just as soon sign my death warrant.
Just look. Oh, it's crammed full of juicy apples. And the crust is so light and flaky. Won't you just try the small piece?
Well, I gotta say, it is a good-looking apple pie.
Thank you, Otto. That means a lot to me, coming from a fine cook like you.
Mm. Looks almost good enough to eat.
Well, that's why I made it, to be eaten. Come on, taste it, Mr. Barker.
I suppose one bite wouldn't kill me.
No, I promise you it won't.
Tastes like you put real apples in them.
I did, and plenty of them.
Mm.
I thought maybe if Otto didn't mind, I might bake some more tomorrow. We can make a specialty of home-cooked apple pie.
How about that, Otto?
Oh, why should you ask me? I ain't a boss. I only work here.
I promise not to get in your way in the kitchen, Otto. Oh, wait, here comes a customer. Is he a new one, Mr. Buck?
Joe? One of the regulars. Been coming over here ever since I opened the place.
Well, finish your lunch. I'll wait on you.
Hey, Ned, what's going on? Fixing up your place for one of the masquerades?
Didn't you ever see curtains before?
Good afternoon. Would you like to sit here at this table?
Say, this is something new for your place, Ned, a dame. Listen, babe, I'll sit anywhere you say.
Joe generally sits at the counter, Mary. I'll take care of him.
Don't you see you're in a way, Ned? Little lady's going to take good care of me, ain't you, kiddo?
Listen, Joe,
I think I'd better go back
it?
To the kitchen.
Oh, no, you don't. What's your hurry, babe? I always hold the waitress's hand while I give the order. Helps me think. Come back here.
Please let me go.
Let her go, Joe.
I ain't good enough for your new waitresses, I didn't
ask. No, you're not, and I think you better get out of here right now.
So you're throwing me out, are you, Ned?
You heard me. Start moving toward the door. Out. Mary, get out of the way.
I'll go get Otto.
Never mind, Otto. I can take care of this myself. Make it snappy, Joe. I can still use my fist if I have to.
Right down, I'm going. You'll be sorry for this, Barker.
Yeah, have a good cry about it after you're gone.
I'll fix you and your restaurant. A waitress is too good to talk to me, is she?
Go on, keep moving, Joe.
Okay, Barker, okay, but you ain't seen the end of me. I'll play a long shot.
Ah. Never did like him anyway.
Mr. Barker, I'm sorry that had to happen, but I'm very grateful to you.
That's what comes of having a woman in the place. Just lost one of my oldest customers.
I'm terribly sorry. I hope he didn't mean what he said about causing trouble for you.
I ain't afraid of him. But if I keep you here, it looks like I won't have a customer left by the end of the week.
Oh, we'll have new customers, lots of them. See, two men have just come in. Oh.
What's the matter? Know them?
Yes, I know them. Well, they're taking the corner table. I'll wait on them.
Okay.
How do you do?
Very. This place is even worse than Drake described it.
Yes, Benson's right. You can't stay here, Mary. I know you can find a better job.
May I take your order, gentlemen? We have a special beef goulash today. I can recommend it.
We didn't come here to eat, and you know it, Mary.
We don't encourage patrons to linger at the tables unless they order something.
Why?
We also have a very special homemade apple pie today.
Oh, Mary, please listen to me. This is no place for you. That's the worst neighborhood in town. The roughest men in the city come here.
And even if the restaurant were all right, it's not safe for you to leave here after dark.
No.
David says it's dangerous.
Yes, it is. It is dangerous. You have to walk 3 blocks to the bus.
If you're not going to order anything, I think you'd better leave. Mr. Barker, my boss will think I'm wasting time.
Mr. Barker, I don't care what he thinks. You've got to leave this
I'm
place.
Not going to leave, and I won't have you and David interfering with my job. I know what I'm doing, and I have confidence in Mr. Barker. He's a gentleman.
A gentleman? Mary, you've never known people like this Ned Barker. You don't know what sort of a person he
will
is.
Will you please stop talking so loud? Mr. Barker's looking at us. He'll hear you.
Well, I don't care if he does.
Well, I do. I have reason to know that I can trust him. Something happened a few minutes ago to prove that.
Yes?
But I refuse to stand here and explain everything to you just as if I were a child.
Now, Mary, I can't go back to Sanders knowing you're working in a place
and
like this.
And last week you said you couldn't go away knowing that I didn't have a job.
Well,
now you object because I found one. I'm trying to keep it.
Oh, Mary, wait a minute. Let me tell you something. I'm responsible for your coming here. That's why I'm so worried. It's all my fault. I brought you here for coffee that first night I met you. Well, I've never liked the looks of this Ned Barker.
Yes, and I don't like him either. I don't trust him.
He's coming over here. Won't you please go?
Having trouble with these two fellas?
Oh, no. That is a...
Fresh type. Forget about food the minute they see a pretty waitress.
What do you mean?
Don't get tough with me, young fella. Listen, Mary, don't be afraid to speak up. Are they bothering you like that other one did? Just say the word and I'll throw them out, too.
Yes, they're bothering me, Mr. Barker.
What?
Well, if you're looking for a fight, Mr. Barker...
I know these two men, and I think they'll leave without being thrown out. John, won't you and David please go? Everything's all right, quite all right.
Well, I don't see what more we can say, Manson. We'd better leave as long as Mary feels that way about it.
All right, let's go. But I wish you'd listen to us, Mary.
I'll listen to you after I get back to the boarding house tonight. Now, please go quickly.
Okay. I'll see you tonight, too, Mary.
Yep. I sure knew what I was talking about. No good ever come of hiring a woman.
I'm terribly sorry about this.
Yep. Had more trouble today than I had in 10 years. Losing all my customers on account of you. You'd better make some more of them apple pies.
Ned Barker has risen to Mary's defense today like a gentleman. Begins to look as if her instinctive liking for him is justified. But will she ever be able to convince David and John Benson that her new employer is to be trusted? Mary has had an eventful and disturbing first day at her new job. A job which does not as yet and may never pay a salary. Instead of acquiring new business, her boss, Ned Barker, was obliged to order one of his oldest customers out of the place to protect Mary. Will Joe, the man who was ejected, make good his angry threats and cause serious trouble for Ned? And now that David and John Benson have virtually come to blows with Ned, aren't they likely to take even more drastic measures to persuade him to give up the job? There'll be further developments tomorrow in the life of Mary Southern.